So you guys are in for a treat. A good friend of mine is going to share with you guys, a guy I've known for years here at Athey and elsewhere. We've done everything with this guy, from playing soccer, doing home groups, and everything in between. He's a great guy. He's on staff now as our administrative pastor. Give it up huge for our very own Mr. Jeff Hake.
Well, good morning. Glad you guys could make it out for the 8 o'clock service. Normally, I'm stuck in my house teaching to a group of guys, and we're talking about, right now we're going through the book of Revelation. And so it's nice this morning, because one thing that I had on my heart to do was just take some time out and just talk about, man, what the Lord has been showing me, and really what He's been doing in my life in particular. So if you would, flip open to John chapter 15, and that's where we'll take our text from this morning. Now, this is cool. You know, as I was preparing for the study today and thinking about, man, what I was going to teach and share with everybody, one of the stories that came back to my mind and was when me and my brother were little. We were young. And we grew up in Beaverton. We had a house, and in front of the house was one of the coolest, well, two of the coolest things. We actually had these big, gigantic trees. Huge trees. One was a maple, and my parents and I were debating on what the other one was, but we couldn't quite figure it out the other night. So whatever it was, the point was, is one was red, one was green, one was mine, and one was my brother's. And we had so much fun in the things that we used to do in those trees, because what we'd do is we'd go and we'd get our hammers and we'd get our wood supplies, and we'd go out, and man, we'd start building forts in these trees. And I remember as we went through, you know, it was the greatest thing, because we would go up into those trees and we'd get away. Man, we'd play games. We'd have so much fun just, if you would, getting away and being somewhere that wasn't, you know, in the house, or that wasn't out right directly in the front yard. And man, we could hide out and hang out in those tree forts. So cool. And I know you guys, each and every one of you, I'm sure, has had that place. Especially when you're young, especially when you're, you know, growing up, you have that place where you go hang out, where no one else is, where you can kind of hide away, if you will, and hang out. And in our text this morning, we find one of the coolest truths ever, because, you know, we might have thought when we were young that those places were the coolest places ever, that you couldn't beat a tree fort. But you know what? There's something in the Bible, in John chapter 15, that you can't beat. And that's hanging out with Jesus Christ. And the thing that the Lord has really been putting on my heart and doing in my life at this point in time is just saying, Jeff, remember to abide in Christ. Remember to hang out with Him. In everything that you do, abide in Jesus Christ. And so that's what I wanted to share with you guys this morning. And so if you would, John chapter 15, we'll start in verse 1. Verse 1 says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, He takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, He prunes, that it may bear more fruit. You're already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, and you are the branches. He who abides in me, and I in him, bears much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. Man, without me, you can do nothing. What an amazing truth that is. And I think about, you know, how much in my life, you know, I love hanging out in places. You know, I was checking online and looking at how many different things Americans are into. And this is amazing. Because if you do a little Google search on societies or clubs, you're talking thousands upon thousands of societies and clubs. We as Americans are into hanging out, into joining a club, being a part of something that is greater than us. And man, what is amazing is when we read this, Jesus Christ here says, abide in me, because if you don't, you cannot bear fruit. There's no other place to be than in Jesus Christ himself. And so, you know, I think about this, and as you look at the fact of the matter is that Jesus is the true fulfillment of everything that we ever want and ever need in life. You guys know that to be true? It's really cool. So, as I was studying up for this, you know, I was looking at the word abide. And in the Greek, it's actually meno is the word in the Greek. And it actually means to linger, to dwell, to hang out, if you will, to spend time taking in and tarry. This is amazing because I think about my relationship and my walk with the Lord. How much do I tarry with the Lord? How much do I spend time hanging out, just chilling with the Lord? You know, it's funny because as we think about our walks with the Lord and as we think about our lives in general, oftentimes one of the hardest things for us to do is hang out with the Lord. It's to tarry with the Lord. And specifically, I think there's three reasons that I'd like to look at today and really point out that we rather abide in these three places rather than abiding in the Lord. And so the first place is abiding in the past. We oftentimes abide in the past. The second place is abiding in the present. And obviously the third place is abiding in the future. All of those things, we get caught up in those things. And I'll go on to explain what I'm talking about. But man, we need to abide in Christ. So why do we, and what prevents us from abiding in Christ? Well, first off, abiding in the past. You guys know how this all looks. Because the first thing that happens is that, you know, you come alongside somebody, and I think we each have a tendency to go through times and seasons to where we get distracted from abiding in Christ. One is the infamous glory days. People that live in the glory days, and you guys know what this is like, the high school senior, you know, they have arrived. It's their senior year. It's the pinnacle of everything they've been looking forward to. And you know what? They're the big man on campus. Or man, she's the girl that has all the looks. Or, you know, the straight A student. We have a tendency to rely on those things, and as the years go on, we remember back to the glory days. The problem with that, and this is the funny thing about it, and you guys all know what happens, is the problem with that is we get older. We get older. And it's funny because as we, you know, grow older and mature, a few things happen. Number one, we start to get way out of shape. So in that, when we could, you know, sprint up and down those stairs, we can no longer do, you know, 1, 2, 3 stairs and, you know, just dying because you're out of breath, you're out of shape. Or you wind up like me and all of a sudden you have this receding hairline that just starts creeping back and back and you don't quite have those looks that you used to have once upon a time. But you know what? You know, you can't, and there was one other thing too. Oh yeah, you start to forget things, you know, and all of a sudden you have to start writing these things down. You guys know how this goes. When you rely on the glory days, it's nothing but ugliness because, you know, as you grow old, things start to fail. Things start to go wrong. So, man, as we look at this, you know, we rather get, you know, in our own minds and in our own bodies, we have a tendency to get hung up and caught up in looking back on the past. Well, Paul had something to say about this. So if you turn to Philippians chapter 3, we'll expound upon that just a little bit. I love this because Paul's one of my favorite guys in the New Testament to read about in so many different ways. You know, one, the Bible says that, man, he was a Pharisee in zeal. He was a Hebrew of Hebrews. Man, this guy had it all together. He was amazing. He also had stuff that was against him in that he persecuted the church. He was mean. Man, he killed. Even if you guys remember in Acts, the Bible tells us that he was there consenting even to Stephen's death. Man, he had good and bad things going for him. But what did he say in the book of Philippians chapter 3? And this is paramount. This is just a huge thing for us to remember. Because he said in verse 12, he says, "Not that I have already attained or I'm already perfected, but I press on that I might lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, But one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press towards the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. What did Paul say that he was going to do? He didn't say I was going to glory in the past. He didn't say I was going to hang on to those glory days, those things that I did well when I was young. He said, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to let go of everything that's behind me, and I'm going to reach out. What I'm going to do is reach out and grab everything that Christ has for me in my future. Because you know what? He's laid hold of abundant life for each and every one of us. And so today, as we think about that, you know, each and every one of us has a tendency to do that very thing, to think about the past and say, oh man, I used to be so good at this, you know? But what we're to do is to let go of those things and say, I'm going to grab hold of and I'm going to reach out for that which Christ has already laid a hold of for me. What an amazing thing Paul does as he shares this to you. See, Paul lets go of the past that he might gain Christ. Amazing thing. Well, the second thing that happens when we abide in the past is that we dwell on old sins. You guys ever found yourselves in this place? Dwelling on old sins, the things that happened in the past, the places you fell short. Man, what an amazing thing. Wouldn't it be great if we could forget? You know, if you had that little switch on you or a little dial that you could just say, I'm going to tune it down today. You know, I'm going to flip it off. And you know what? I'm just going to absolutely forget everything everything that happened in the past. I'm going to forget all those things. And the problem is we have a tendency to do two things. One, we dwell on others' past sin. Well, what's that look like? Well, man, that guy wronged me. That guy, you know, made me mad. And so, you know what? I'm not going to forgive him. I'm not going to forgive her for the things that they've done to me and done against me. The problem is with this, is that if we dwell on this, we become bitter. And all of a sudden, this root of bitterness digs in deep, roots itself deep down inside our hearts. Matthew chapter 6, verse 12, you don't need to turn there, but I'll read it to you. It says, forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Jesus Christ himself said this. He said, Lord, forgive our debts as we forgive our debtors. We need to forgive our debtors just as the Lord has forgiven us. And that's the important thing to remember, that Christ, he didn't just die for me. He didn't just die for you. He died for the whole world. And he paid the price for our sins, past, present, and future. And we're to forgive our debtors just as the Lord has forgiven us. That's what we're called to do today. So not dwell on those past sins that others have wronged us. But we're, you know, the other thing that happens is that we also dwell on our own past sin. The things that we tripped up, the places we tripped up, the things that we did wrong. Man, do you ever find yourself dwelling on those things? Man, I love what the Word says about this, because if you're plagued from sin, you know, if you're bound up by this, you can be free today. 1 John 1:9 says that if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And that's an amazing thing. Romans 6 also talks about this. Romans 6 verse 6 says, our old man was crucified with Christ, that we should no longer serve sin. Our old man was crucified with Christ so that we should no longer serve the sin that dwells within us. Man, put those things aside. Know that, man, if you have sin that plagues you, if you have sin that brings you down, confess that to the Lord. Give it up, because today is the day of your salvation. Today, the Lord wants to free you from those things. And it's so important for us to remember not to dwell on those things. Let the old man die. Let the old man die. You guys ever feel like sin just rises up within you and you can never run away from it? You can never get away from it? Well, what you need to do is let the old man die. You need to give it up. And that's exactly what Paul says here. He says, let the old man be done away with. Let it go and move on. Let it go and move on. So abiding in the past. In the end, what happens when you abide in the past is that we dwell on past victories or past defeats. And those things prevent us from abiding in the true Savior, in Jesus Christ himself. So abiding in the past. Now, we also can get hung up in abiding in the present. How so? What do you mean by that? Well, you guys ever feel comfortable in life? You guys ever feel like, I kind of like my schedule. You know, I kind of like the way things are going right now. It's just comfortable. That is one thing that can prevent us from abiding in Christ. It can prevent us from moving forward in our walks with Him. Now, I don't know, if you guys are like me, you've got your schedule all mapped out. Outlook, you got it all dialed in. You know how it goes. And if something pops into that schedule, man, it can throw a huge wrench in your plans. A huge wrench in your plans. And, you know, as we go on, you think about how the world, in a sense, and we, as Americans, have compartmentalized so many different things. You know, we've got God here. We've got our church here. We've got school here. We've got work here. We've got family here. Man, what an amazing thing. Think about, you know, us sitting here today. 8 o'clock service. I'm there every week. No problem. Why do I like to come to 8 o'clock? Well, it's because I can go home and watch football after the service. And man, it maps out the whole day. Things are just convenient. I can come, plug in, get my hour teaching, get my hour and a half, you know, of teaching and worship. And you know what? Psh, boom, I'm out the door and I'm going home to continue with the rest of my week. Man, what an amazing thing it is, the comfort that we have here in this city, in the state where we're at today. You know, you might say today, well, I'm pretty comfortable. You know, I've got my house, I've got my car, I've got my family, I got my TV. Man, I can get lost in the stuff that's on TV. And so I've got it set. You know, no problem. No problem. Well, this is an amazing thing because Mark chapter 10, if you flip over there with me, there's a neat little story about a guy who had it all together. He was comfortable in where he was at. This story is about, as Jesus teaches us, this is about the rich young ruler. And this is an amazing story if you really grab a hold of the profound truth here. John chapter 10, verse 17 says, "Now as he was going out on the road, one came running, knelt before him and asked him, 'Good teacher, what shall I do that I might inherit eternal life?' So Jesus said to him, 'Why do you call me good? No one is good, that is God, but one, that is God. You know the commandments: do not commit adultery, do not murder, do not steal, do not bear false witness, do not defraud, honor your father and your mother.' And he answered and said to him, 'Teacher, all these things I have kept from my youth.' Then Jesus, looking at him, loved him and said to him, 'One thing you lack. Go your way, sell whatever you have, and give to the poor, that you will have treasure in heaven, and come, take up your cross and follow me.'" But check this out. Verse 22 is pivotal here. It's important to really realize this and grab hold of this. Because it says in verse 22, "But he was sad at the word which Jesus spoke, and went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions." This rich young ruler had everything. He had everything at his disposal, everything that he needed. He was even living his life externally like it should be lived. But the one problem was he couldn't let go of the past. He couldn't let go of the comfort that he had, his possessions. And the result of that was that he couldn't grab hold of Jesus. He couldn't come and follow after Jesus. And you know what happened? He went away sad. What a bummer it is when we get hung up and tied up in our comfort, in the things that we do day in and day out, and don't step outside of that bound, because Jesus has so much more for each and every one of us. That truly, you know, it's true that if we stay put in our comfort, then the Lord is going to, you know, He can use you so much more if we step out and really reach after Him and move and follow Him. And so the rich young ruler here, he couldn't hang out with Jesus because he was hanging on to his stuff. He was comfortable where he was at. Well, the second thing, abiding in the present, the second thing that we see happen is that there's a tendency to dwell on the fact that today, in the present, we're not perfect. Now, I know this is a newsflash for most of you, but I'm here to tell you today that no one is perfect. No one is perfect at all. And, there's not one. You know, you might say, and what I mean by this when I say that we get hung up in the fact that we're not perfect, because there are times in my mind, there are times I'm sure in your mind also, where we ask these questions. We say, well, I don't know the Bible well enough, so I'm not going to, dig in. I'm not going to be able to share with people. Or you might say, well, I'm not a good speaker. You know, I stutter over my words. We already know what the Lord does with stutterers, as we've seen in Moses in the Old Testament. But you also might say, well, you know what? I didn't go to seminary. Well, I'm here to tell you today that those things don't matter. They don't matter at all. But you know what matters? And I like this, is the only thing that matters in our life, the testimony that the Lord has given us, is Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And you guys know this better than any other church body than I know of. But truly, it's not about our wisdom, but it's about what Jesus has done for each and every single one of us. It's about what He has done on the cross of Calvary. How so? Well, flip over to 1 Corinthians chapter 2, and I'll share with you what Paul said about this. Now, I like this because in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, just to give you a little background of this, we can read in Acts chapter 17 that Paul, he had just got done hanging out in Rome. And he had just got done giving one of the most eloquent speeches ever given concerning the Lord. And as he came into Corinth, he had a revelation, if you will. I mean, there was something that really, truly happened in his life that he all of a sudden caught and he got for the first time. And I'm hoping that we can get this and really take hold of this today. The thing that he grasped is Jesus Christ and Him crucified. How so? Well, let's read chapter 2, 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 1. It says there, "And I, brethren, when I came to you, did not come with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring to you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. And my speech and my preaching were not with persuasive words of human wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of the power, that your faith should not be in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God." Man, what an amazing thing that is. Paul, having given one of the greatest presentations, speeches ever, he says, "I don't come with excellency of speech." Because you know what happened there in Rome? It says there that quite a few people mocked him. A lot of other people said, "Well, I'll hear you another day. You know, I'll come back later." And it says only a few were saved. Only a few followed after the Lord. But in Corinth, man, when he came preaching Jesus Christ and Him crucified, when he came saying, "Man, I'm not all polished up. I don't have excellency of speech. In fact, I came to you in fear and trembling." And you know what happened? Many people were saved. A mighty thing started happening there in that place. And that's what happens, and that's what needs to happen in our own lives, because we so often get hung up on who we are today, our lack of or our inconsistencies, you know, the things that we fall short in. And that's where we need to stop and remember all we need to know is Jesus Christ and Him crucified. You know, I remember, years back, working, I had this guy at work that I was sharing with and talking to, and I remember going out to eat with him. And this was one of the things in my life that really radically touched me big time, because we sat there for no joke for an hour, 45 minutes to an hour, talking about the Word, debating, if we will. We were going over things over and over and over again. And as I would share something, I'd flip to the Word, and, you know, I'd say, "Well, boom, here's the answer to your question." And I'd flip to another word, and boom, here's the answer to your question. You know what happened? This guy got frustrated. more and more and more every single time. And you know what happened after a little while? I said, okay, you know what I'm going to do? Close my Bible. And I listened. And just listened to what he had to say. And I said, you know what? Man, I know. You know, this thing I do know. I don't know about all the answers to your question. But this thing I do know is that Christ loves me. That God loves me so much that he'd send his son to die for me on the cross. And because of that, I'm free and forgiven because of the cross of Calvary. Because Jesus shed his blood for me. And that's what we need to grab hold of today as you and I walk in this life, is that it's not about your eloquency of speech, about who you are. It's about Christ and him alone. So man, abiding in the present, there's nothing that the world should do that should be in the world that is going to hold us back from Christ, hold us back from abiding in the Lord. That's where we need to abide, is in the Lord. So, thirdly, abiding in the future. You guys know how this works, because we are a society of procrastinators. We wait till the 10th hour, the 11th hour. We wait till the very last second to get everything ready. And man, I'm here to tell you this morning that that is one of the things that will prevent you from really, truly grabbing hold of everything that the Lord has for you. And how do I mean? What do I mean about that? Well, you know the saying. You guys all know the saying. Why do today what you could put off for tomorrow? Man, I love that saying. Oh, I mean, wait a second. You know, these people here, the people that say that so many times, they don't realize that putting it off one more day, that they're risking something, that there isn't going to be another day. Do you know, and we know this as we've been studying through the minor prophets and been going through as a church what the Lord says concerning the end days and the last days. And Brett's taught a lot about that. But man, one of the things that we need to grab hold of tonight is the urgency of walking with the Lord. Think of it this way. If Jesus came back today and he said, Jeff, I'm coming over to your house for dinner, what would happen? Would I be scurrying around everywhere going, okay, Lord, well, give me till 5 o'clock tonight. And would I bust out of here, run home, and start cleaning everything? Start taking all those CDs, start taking all those movies and tossing them. You know, wheeling them out in the wheelbarrow, hoping that the garbage man's going to come up and pick them up. You know, would I just be, you know, trying to hurry around, cleaning my act up, getting things together before the Lord came? Man, I hope that's not us today. Because, man, the Lord wants us to be ready for his return. He wants us to be abiding in him so that when he does come back, we're ready to rock and roll. We're ready to go home to be with him. Man, that's where it's at. So procrastinating to another day, don't do that. It's not good. It'll prevent you from moving forward in the Lord. The second thing about living in the future, abiding in the future, that happens to us, happens to you, happens to myself, is that we worry about the future. I don't know about you guys, but I am just ingrained this way. I stress about things. I worry about things so much so that I make them a whole lot bigger than they should be. I don't know if you guys know how that goes, but worrying about the future. A few questions that I jotted down to remind me what I was going to share. One of those questions was, you know, am I going to have enough retirement? Are you stressed about that? Am I going to have enough there for me when I retire or for my kids? Am I, you know, who am I going to marry? You might say, oh, you know, I really want to be married, but I'm stressing about it. I just can't do things, you know, that the Lord wants me to do because I'm not married. Do you worry about those things? Well, this is interesting because, and I'm not saying that we shouldn't be concerned about, that we shouldn't be aware of these things, because the Lord, he wants us to do well with the resources that he's given to us. He wants us to pray for our husbands, to pray for our future wives. But at the same time, if we dwell on those things, if that's consumes us and that's all we're about, then what happens is we're biding in the future. and not in the Lord, not in what the Lord would do in our lives today. Matthew chapter 6, flip over there real quick. And I like this a lot because this is one of the greatest teachings that I hang on to from Jesus himself. It says in verse 25, Matthew chapter 6, Jesus says there, and Matthew writes, "Therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food, or the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns. Yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not more value than they? Which of you, by worrying, can add one cubit to his stature?" I've got that one highlighted. Verse 28 says, "So why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. And yet I say to you, that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Now, if God so clothed the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is thrown into an oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore, do not worry, saying, 'What shall we eat, or what shall we drink, and what shall we wear?' For after these things the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble." What an amazing word that is the Lord shares with us there in Matthew. Worrying about tomorrow. Worrying about tomorrow. Do you guys spend so much time worrying about tomorrow that you're not able to live your life today? That's a question that we all need to ask ourselves to really camp out on and dwell on and just to really be discerning on that. Because, you know, the thing that we shouldn't do is let future concerns or procrastination prevent us from abiding in Christ today. We shouldn't do that. Abide in the Lord today. Okay, so you said, "Jeff, well, those are the things that prevent us from abiding in the Lord." So now I got a question. How do I abide in the Lord? How do I do that practically? Well, Acts 2:42, I love this. And we'll hit a couple more things and then we'll be finished for today. Acts 2:42 shares with us exactly what the early church did, how they abided in the Lord. And it says that they continued steadfastly in word, in fellowship, in communion, and in prayer. That's it. Four things. They continued steadfastly in the word, in fellowship, in communion, and in prayer. What's that look like? Well, continuing steadfastly in the word, abiding in the word. Do you guys take time to carve out to have devos, to spend time opening up your Bible and saying, "Man, Lord, what do you have for me this morning? What do you have for me today for my life?" Because this is the love book that's been written to us by our Savior. This is the manual, the instruction manual to life, the Word of God. And it says that if we read the Word of God, we will be deeply rooted. Deeply rooted. I don't know about you guys, but when the winds blow, do you fall over? When the winds blow, are your roots deep so that you're able to stand in those winds? Well, we are to abide in the Word, and that's exactly what we are to do. We're also to wash ourselves in the Word. The Word says that of itself that it has a cleansing effect in our life. Well, secondly, fellowship. Now, this is an amazing thing, and I run the risk of preaching to the choir because, man, you guys came out at 8 o'clock on a Sunday morning to hear the word. But fellowship is so important. It's so important in our lives. Why? Did you know that the word says that when two or more are gathered, he is here in our presence? That's an amazing thing. Jesus Christ is here right now in our presence. We're abiding in Him when we fellowship. The Word says, do not forsake the assembling of one another. Why? Because the Word also tells us that there's safety in a multitude of counselors. It also tells us that when we come together, it is like iron sharpening iron. We're refined. Man, we're able to come alongside one another in love as we abide in fellowship, as we abide in Christ. We're able to do that. So, in the Word, in fellowship, in communion. When was the last time you guys took communion? You know, here is one of the biggest blessings that we, on a weekly basis, have communion available. Sunday night celebration, home groups, throughout the week. But you're saying, well, wait a second, Jeff, I just can't make it out. You know, I have to work Sunday night, or I just can't make it out on a Sunday night. Well, I'm telling you today that you can remember the body that was broken for us and the blood that was shed, and you don't have to do it here. You don't have to do it here. You can do it on your own time, and this is an amazing thing. Well, what happens when we take part in communion? Well, it's simple. We sit at the foot of the cross. We hang out with Jesus, looking up at the cross saying, man, Lord, your blood was shed for me. Man, Lord, your body was broken. And because of those things, man, I'm clean and I'm free and I'm forgiven. Communion with the Lord is a vertical thing. It's between you and God. It's not between us and others. It's a vertical thing, and we are to do that. And as we do that, as we take part in communion, we're abiding in Christ. And it's a great thing. So lastly, prayer. The last thing to do is prayer. Man, the Word tells us that as we pray, the Lord hears us. He hears each and every one of our prayers. It is by praying we are communicating to the Father. Are you praying day by day, each day? Are you praying hour by hour? Are you praying minute by minute? You know what? Praying, so many times we make it into this huge thing that it needs to be when it's so simple, because all it is communicating. It's expressing your heart and just chatting with the Father. That's it. Just hanging out and talking with the Father. Are we praying? Because by praying, we are abiding in the Lord Himself. So, four things, it's simple. In the Word, fellowship, communion, and prayer. I think about this, when I think about this, I think about my marriage. What kind of marriage would I have if I only came and checked in with my wife once a week for 2 hours? What kind of marriage would that be? I'll tell you right now, it wouldn't be that good. She wouldn't like me very much. Now, it's amazing because we as Christians, so many times, we think about going to church. We think about what we do here as a major thing. It is a major thing. We're coming together. We're worshiping the Lord. But the one thing that we need to be aware of and that we should not do is think of it as punching a time clock. Okay, Lord, I went to service on Sunday. I'm good to go for the whole week. Because that's exactly what I was talking about with my marriage. If I come in here and hear this word and then take it away and I go to see the football game, you know, or I go do whatever I'm going to do for the rest of the week and never check back in with Him, what kind of relationship are you going to have with the Lord? Man, I think about that and I'm just, you know, it astounds me because it's easy for us to do that. It's easy for us to do that. You know, day in and day out, it's about dwelling with Christ. It's about abiding in Him, spending time with Him, hanging out. Because by doing so, we will have a real relationship with Jesus. We'll have a real relationship with the Lord. It'll be something that's passionate to us and in our lives. This is important. Your relationship with the Lord, the stuff that you do on your own time, it needs to make it 18 inches from here in your brain down to your heart. That's exactly what needs to happen. And when it does, by going from here as just time that I'm spending in the Word, you know, theologically or whatever you want to say, this is just something that I'm just grasping in my mind, you know, or prayer, it's just something that I'm punching the clock and I'm doing. We need to have that relationship, make it from our mind to our heart. And that's exactly what the Lord is calling us to do. For those who continue steadfastly in the word, in fellowship, in communion, and in prayer, they're going to have a real relationship with the Lord. And it's going to be something that's vibrant and exciting. So lastly, and we'll finish here. So you've said, okay, well, how do we abide in Christ? Well, now, Jeff, I want to know why. Why do we abide in Christ? Well, number one, the early church was blessed. As we continue to read Acts, in chapter 2, verse 47, it says that the Lord added to the church daily, each day, those who would be saved. Every single day, there was an exciting, fresh, new thing that was going on. And why? It was because the people were abiding in Christ. They were hanging out with and spending time with the Lord. John chapter 15, verse 5, let me read it again and tie it back into where we started. John chapter 15, verse 5 says, I am the vine, and you are the branches. He who abides in me, and I in him, bears much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. For without me, you can do nothing. Let me read that again. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me, and I in him, bears much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. Do you feel like your life is fruitless today? Or do you feel like your fruit is stinky? You know, is it something that's old and moldy? Oh man, that's where we need to abide in the Lord. Jesus is the only one that can meet every single need that we have in our life today. He's the only one that can come alongside us and fill the voids that we need to have filled. And so, man, today we need to abide in Christ. Not just today in this service, but I'm talking about when you get home. I'm talking about tomorrow at work. I'm talking about Thanksgiving when you have your family over. Abide in Christ. Are you ready for the day? Are you ready for what the Lord is going to do in each and every one of our lives? It is so important to understand that abiding in Him, by doing so, man, you'll be able to live the most abundant life ever. The most amazing life that you could ever believe that you could live. And I'm here to tell you that this morning. So therefore, abide in Christ. It's as simple as that. Abide in Christ. Because there's no better place to be. Bottom line, there's no better place to be. Amen? Let's pray. Father, I thank you so much, Lord, for your grace and your mercy. Father, for knowing us better than we know ourselves. Father, I thank you so much, Lord, that you've called us today, Lord, to abide in you, to move closer and closer to you. Father, thank you that you've provided provision for our sin, Lord, for our shortcomings, the places we fall. Lord, that you sent your Son out of a heart of love to pay the price for our sins on the cross, Lord. Father, today, Lord, I pray that you would do a new thing in our lives. In this 8 o'clock service, the people that have attended, Father, today and heard your word, Lord, I pray that we go away abiding in you. Father, that we would live our lives abundantly for you. That we'd let go of the things in the past that plague us. Father, that we'd not worry about the things of the future, Lord, that bring us down. Or even our present condition, Lord, I pray that we wouldn't let those things trip us up and prevent us from abiding in you today. But Father, I pray that we'd be diligent, Lord, in word, Father, in fellowship, in communion, that we'd be diligent and continue in prayer with you. And today, Father, that you do a new thing in our lives, Lord. Thank you so much, Lord, for being here and guiding us, for directing us. Father, for being our provision, Lord. We do give you our lives and pray your perfect will be done in them. Lord, we don't want second best. We want the best, Lord. And we know that you have it for us. So, Father, we just give our lives, commit our lives over to you, Lord. And we bless you today, Lord, for being so good. Father, for giving us the word to study. So thank you so much for teaching us now, Lord. Would you just be honored and glorified through the rest of this week? We pray these things, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.